Let's have a word of prayer together. Precious Lord, in these few moments that we will spend together, we ask for your divine presence, guide our minds, rule our hearts, control our thoughts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've entitled our brief message this morning, The Gospel and the Kingdom. Or we might call it The Gospel and the Prophecy that Jesus Gave. Now, if Jesus gives us a message, it must be what? I'm looking for, truth is one word, I'm looking for another word. Important. Amen? Wouldn't you say so? The disciples asked Jesus a question. Tell us, Matthew 24:3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? People are starting to ask that question. Have you noticed? There are telltale signs of the end of the world. Our economy crashing down upon us. And all manner of things taking place. The end of the world. They wanted to know, when would this world come to an end? And today, by the grace of God, many people are alive to see what is about to happen. And then Jesus said to his disciples in response to their question, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And then what will happen? And then shall the end come. So one of the outstanding facts of truth about the end of the world is that we're going to hear and we're going to see the multiplication or the spread of the gospel. That's the story about Jesus. You know, the Bible pictures three times where God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. All right? Now, in contrast to the gospel being preached to all the world, in verse 14, Jesus says in verse 15, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? He not only tells us what to look for, but he tells us who's going to tell us the answer to what we're looking for. When ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand where? Now, to the Jewish ear, that meant one place. You see, we're looking exactly at the sanctuary. We're reading. When you read from the Bible, English, Japanese, Korean, whatever, beloved, the word holy place to the Jew, whatever language it is, took their minds to one place. We're going to look at that in just a minute. So God says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. The holy place refers us back to the sanctuary of Moses. Now that building was divided in two parts. The holy and the most holy. The holy, they went in daily. And on the most holy, they went in once a year. In the holy, the first apartment, you'll notice the furniture, the seven-pronged candlestick. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12. They said, no, you're not. He said, well, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, my Father will show you who I am. What happened when they lifted him up? The lights went out. 3 hours. 1 hour for every day he's been in the tomb. All right? Now notice, how did that happen? Somebody hit something. All right. It's not my fault, it's electronics. At least I have someone to blame. All right, there we are. So the holy place then has to do with this first apartment. Notice here, just above here. Oh, I got a light. Right there. 12 loaves of bread. Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. That if a man eat, he shall live. The bread of life, all right?
And then there was the altar. There was the altar of incense. This altar of incense represented, according to Revelation 8:3, the prayers of the saints. But what made the smoke? It was the incense, or the sweet smelling savor of the life of Christ. That's the incense represented that. That makes our prayers acceptable to God. One writer says it this way: except our prayers be covered with the blood, they're not acceptable to God. All right? Now, so this altar then was the prayer altar. The prayer altar. Now, the incense went up over the curtain. And you'll notice the curtain is pulled back. We'll come to that the next time we talk. But now notice the holy place. So the holy place represented Jesus as the bread, Jesus as the light, Jesus as the incense that makes our prayers effective. So it represents the ministry of Christ. So Jesus said, when you see the abomination, that which produces an abominable experience, stand where? In holy place. In other words, beloved, Daniel will show us, and we're not going to go into detail, we don't have the time this morning, but next Sabbath, come back, we'll finish this up. So in the holy place, Daniel is saying, and Jesus is saying, there will be a ministry that will try to take away the ministry of Christ. Now notice, all the sanctuary referred to Jesus Christ. And the pity of it all is when Jesus came, those who had the sanctuary missed him. Missed him. Now if that was a happening in their day, and it's a danger in their day, how about our day? Could it be that we, in this enlightened age, you know, I lived in Africa, and they call Africa the dark continent. We could say more. We won't. We don't have time. But we call America the enlightened continent. But could it be that we who live in this enlightened age and enlightened continent could miss Jesus? Yes. The Jews did. And beloved, we're no different. Moving right along. The abomination of desolation, Daniel, we're to Daniel now. Jesus has told us to go to Daniel. And many shall be purified and made white. That's pure. And tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall what? God help us to be among those who understand. None of the wicked will understand. You know why some people don't understand? Because they don't take the time to thresh it out, to read and study it out. They say, oh, I believe. I believe. They shout and holler. But what do you believe, really? Well, and from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. In order for the abomination, Jesus used those words, and Daniel uses those words, and he says when a daily is taken away, we're going to identify the daily, leave it right there, the abomination can be set up. What is the daily? Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Now that sounds to me like a daily ministry. What does it sound like to you? How often should it be done? Day by day, continually. All right? So the lamb was brought in the morning. They had a morning and evening service, a morning and evening offering. In the morning, this lamb, representing Jesus Christ, was offered. So his salvific ministry covered the camp in the morning. Then the lamb was brought in the evening, the setting of the sun. And the lamb was given, and this was to be done day by day, continually. It represented the ministry of Jesus Christ. Then Daniel says, the one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. Mark 1:32 says, even represents when the sun sets. Okay? Are you there? Are you with me? So here we have then the Lamb of God in this modern description of him. It says, when his ministry is replaced by what? The abomination of desolation. When his ministry is replaced by what? You don't need to be afraid to speak up in this church. Okay? Thank you. Okay. And so when Christ and his ministry is moved out of its place, the daily is taken away, that will give room for the setting up of the abomination of desolation. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Oh, but the preacher said this. Oh, but the preacher said that. Oh, but my Bible teacher said this. Who does it say here? Hear him. Hear Jesus. All right? So we're to hear him. We're to listen to his word. We're to have his word imprinted. What is it? 1 Peter 3:18? Or is it 2 Peter 3:18? Let me go see quickly, quickly. I'm going to see. 1 Peter 3:18? What is it? What is it? 3:18? 3:18? 1 Peter, 2 Peter, let's not argue. Ah, here it is. Notice what it says, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes. So the doctrine given by Christ to his church includes the second coming, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Includes the nature of man. God made a pure man, huh? But man fell and became a impure or sinful man. Okay? The doctrine of the nature of man, the love of God, the resurrection, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the law of God. All of these are teachings of Christ, including the seventh-day Sabbath. God gave them. Christ gave them to his church. He knew what they needed. He gave them what they are to know. And notice, if you will, the additional teachings that God has given to his church, which you find in the Bible. And beloved, it takes a lifetime studying these things, isn't it? Judgment, acceptance, forgiveness, and pardon. God's goodness, perfection, holiness, and righteousness. All of those wonderful things God has given for his church to meditate upon. And the more we behold him in these teachings, the more like him we become. Jesus met a lady at the well one day. Jacob's well, by the way. John 4. Quickly turn there. Hurry, church. You're wasting my time. I only have 10 minutes. There it is. John 4, verse 21. Are you there? Now here's what it says. Jesus, talking to this woman at the well, said, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, worship the Father. She was contending. She was trying to throw Jesus off the subject about her life. And she said, oh, you know what our father said? We should worship here at Jacob's well. Jesus said, verse 22, ye worship what? You know not what? You don't know what you're worshiping. Isn't that something? Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Notice what he said. We know. Who's the we? For salvation is of the Jews. Someone asked me, I used that text one evening in a Bible study, and they said, you mean the only ones to be saved are Jews? You see, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses, some 144,000, are. And it's permeated through Protestantism. But notice what Jesus is saying. Woman, ye know not what ye worship. What? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. In other words, the plan of salvation has been given to the Jewish people in the sanctuary. All right? Psalm 77, I think it's verse 13, it says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. John 14, 6 says, I am the way. Do we have a conflict? Jesus said, I am the way. And then the sanctuary, it says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Is there a conflict? No, because the sanctuary teaches who? Teaches Jesus, the way of Jesus. All right. Now notice quickly. So he told this woman, ye know not what ye worship. But, verse 23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice what it says, and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. Isn't this something? God is seeking such to worship him. Evidently, there even in his day, there were those who were not worshiping him. Oh, they may have thought they were. Now, quickly, I got 5 minutes left. Let's make them prophetic. What do you think? Nobody's moving, okay. Matthew 24:11. Quickly, let's help me with these texts, would you please? Matthew 24:11. Notice what it says. Matthew 24. It says, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive how many? Many. Acts 20. So Jesus is warning his church now. Verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. These are the leaders, the preachers of the church. And he told them that he had kept back. Verse 20. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you publicly, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. Come on down to verse 24. But now of these things move me. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, and I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, I have compulsion to preach the gospel of God. Now, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and of all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased for with his own blood. For I know, what does he know? I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Who? Men arise, speaking what? Perverse things, or what is some of the translations? Distort the truth. Now that's what your Bible says. Jesus said, look out, many false teachers are going to come along. Paul says, men will arise to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you. All right? 2 Corinthians 11. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm reading at verse 2. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid, he says, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. You know, some people say, oh, that religion stuff is so hard to understand. But notice Paul says, from the simplicity that is in Christ, that if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, can you imagine, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, can you imagine, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might, he said, I'm just afraid you might what? What does your Bible say? You might give in to him. And as you trace history, biblical history, you'll find there have been distortions brought in and people have followed. Galatians, quickly. Are you there? Chapter 1. I'm going to wait for you. Time is up. All right. Chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, he says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert. Do what? Pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Let me run to, 2 Thessalonians says, the man of sin is going to be revealed. Jude 1, quickly, next to the last book of the Bible. Jude, then comes Revelation. Jude 1, there's only one chapter. Verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of God ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, that's lewdness and the lustfulness, and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can deny Jesus is to take the truth he's given and to distort it. All right? So I just simply wanted to take the time, and I've got 1 minute left. I wanted to take the time to show you, beloved, distortions are on the ground, are in our midst. We must know the Bible for ourselves. We are searching for that system that would attempt to take away the daily. What is the daily? The ministry of Christ. The bread, the word of God. The light, the word of God. The teachings of Christ. And that system that would dump in its place a false system of Jesus called an abomination. I didn't name it. Jesus did. It's an abomination. We must go back to the recorded history. And I'm going to skip that. We'll bring that in next week. But if Jesus then gave us the truth, where in the world? And Jesus was a Jew. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. I've given it to them. They were to be the propagators of the truth, the evangelists of the desert. They failed him. So God had to raise up a new people. Where in the world then did we get Sunday keeping? If Jesus didn't teach it, who's teaching it? Why is it so widespread in the Christian church? Where did we get Easter observance and sunrise service? Where did we get the soul never dies? I held a funeral. I think I related this to you. I held a funeral right out here at Waianae at the beach. The man was a Mormon. His son was a Seventh-day Adventist. So his son invited me to come and give the funeral. And so I gave the funeral. I gave a lecture on 1 Corinthians 15 and the resurrection of the dead and where the dead go. Those things. A lady stood up behind me and she said, well, one thing we don't have to worry about because we never die. I said, we never die? Where's Adam? Huh? Where's Methuselah? Huh? We never die. And so he said, well, the soul lives on. Where did that come from? Where did the secret rapture come from? We're one day going to be, whoop! You see, the Bible says just the opposite. And we which remain, 1 Thessalonians verse 4, verses 16 and 17. We which remain shall be caught up with the resurrected dead. So who are the remaining ones? The living, the righteous. Scripture says just the opposite of what men are teaching. How did it get so widespread? And then this business of saint or image worship. I know in Seattle, where I live, was very popular to see cars driving around with Saint Christopher on the dashboard. And I said, why do you... I had a lot of friends who had them on their dashboard. I said, why do you keep that there? Well, the saints bless us. I said, where do you find that? At that time, I wasn't even a Christian. Jesus says this, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So the teachings of men won't get you to heaven. And we need to distinguish between teachings of men and the teachings of God. God calls the teachings of men abomination. Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. But he says, you go. You go and teach all nations. Look at the second verse, verse 20. Teaching them what? To observe all things what I have commanded. That's as far as I'm going to take you this morning. The abomination of desolation, then, Daniel will describe it. That's next week. I'll be here. I'll look for you. Let's stand together. What? All right. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Truth as it is in Jesus.